satisfied. And then they say, if I could just get, you know, have a relationship with this person, if I could just, you know, seek that right person, and they get them, and then they're not satisfied. And that's why the divorce rate is just like crazy out there. I love my wife, and I dated several young ladies before I met her, but I'm glad that when I was looking to get married, I let God pick. I let Him be in control. And He just brought her right to me. Amen. Just like He did Adam and Eve. He created them for each other. He's got somebody for you. And so just let Jesus be in the center. And then He'll fix that. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So if you're looking for prestige and power or money or relationships or things, possessions, you know, I just got to have it. That's the only thing that's going to satisfy my soul. And you get it, it's not going to mean anything if Jesus is not the center of your life. It's kind of like I do. I like to hunt and fish. And so I would like to catch a bigger fish. I'd like to kill a bigger buck. Why? Because I'm not satisfied. I want to keep going. But again, that's if I get a bigger buck, but I don't have Jesus in my life, I've failed. If I get a bigger fish, you know, that I could mount on the wall, but I don't have Jesus in my life, I've failed. And so that's what the devil's going to do. You got to have this, or you're not going to be happy. And God's like, look, if you just have Jesus, He'll add all this other stuff to you. And so we're looking at satisfaction or satisfied. So true and lasting satisfaction can only come in a personal relationship with Jesus. You know, if you're not saved, you're going to have a happy time, but then it's going to dull. You're going to have some success, but then it's going to dull. And all the things, and again, we've seen it take place in our world. Even movie stars that have millions and millions of dollars, and they'll have a house here and a house here, and they'll have this and they'll have this, and then they'll commit suicide. Why? Because their soul's not satisfied. The devil will lie. If you have this much money, you'll be satisfied. If you have this possession, you'll be satisfied. If you have this relationship, you'll be satisfied. And so you work so hard to get it, and you're not satisfied. Why? Because what she's saying is true, and we're going to see it in the Bible. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Everything else is just going to be a long one. So I have two things here. Number one, salvation can only be satisfied through the blood of Christ. And Brother Derek led us in the songs. Are you washing the blood? A lot of people out there, they're saying, okay, if I could just turn over enough new leaves, if I can quit enough sin, or if I can get baptized till my fingers get, you know, wrinkly, or if I can join 16 different churches, if I can do this, I can do that, if I can do this, my soul will be satisfied. No. A lot of people are looking for salvation everywhere except Jesus. And He's the only one that can save you. There's only one name under heaven whereby must you must be saved. All right? There's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And so, again, so people are looking, and they'll join this church, and they think, okay, we got it. And then they're not satisfied. There's still that longing because they're not saved. And they'll give money, or they'll get baptized, or they'll, you know, again, join some classes, and they'll turn over some new leaves, and they'll try to change, and they're say, I'm still not satisfied. But if you'll do what I did when I was 10 years old, Jesus, I'm a sinner. I don't deserve it, but would you please save my soul and come into my heart and take me to heaven when I die? It's satisfied. There's not a longing in there anymore to be saved because I know I am. All right? And so same thing here. A personal relationship with Christ in your life and Him being in the center of your life is the only way your soul's going to be satisfied. If you're looking for it anywhere else, you're going to be still longing. And we're going to see several verses about that. I'm going to read you two, and then we'll be in Psalm 63. The first one is Matthew 11, 28 through 30. I'll read it to you. You heard it before. It says here, Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. So in other words, there's a longing in their soul. There's a desire. They're heavy laden. And it says here, Jesus is speaking here, I will give you rest. If you come into anybody else or any other thing, you're not going to have it. But if you'll come unto me, then He goes on to say, take my yoke upon me, or upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And here it is, and you shall find rest for your souls. So our inner being, our soul, that's where our desire comes from. And so our soul is longing for something, a salvation. It is longing for something, a satisfaction. But Jesus is the only one that can give it to you. Take my yoke upon me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. John 4:13 and 14. John 4:13-14 says this, Jesus answered and said unto her, talking to the lady, the woman at the well, whosoever drinketh of this water, talking about that water that was in that well, shall thirst again. So I have been very, very thirsty before. I'm sure you have as well. Playing sports or working outside, you just get parched. And you're like, I have to have something to drink right now. And you guzzle a water, or you guzzle a Gatorade, or you guzzle whatever your favorite drink is, and it satisfies for a second, maybe for a little while. But you go back to work, you know what's going to happen again? You're going to get thirsty. And that's what Jesus is saying. My principle is, if you look for satisfaction any other place except in me, you're going to be thirsty again. You might get it and say, oh, this is the best I've ever had. Oh, man, satisfaction. Whew, I'll never want another drink. No, you will. That's what he's saying. So, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him, talking about salvation, shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up unto everlasting life. So if you get salvation, it's just going to keep springing up and never run dry. You don't have to get saved again. You got it. Same thing here. You get that relationship with Christ and you keep it, like praying to Him every day and doing what He wants to, and you've got that, it's just going to keep springing up. And you'll be satisfied. And we've been talking about Psalm 23 on Wednesday nights. And that first verse says here, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. That's what David said. I'm satisfied with Jesus. I'm satisfied with His salvation. I'm satisfied with His relationship. And there's nothing else I want. And so that's what this principle is. So here's the question that we want to ask ourselves this morning. Do I truly feel satisfied in every area of my life? And something just popped into your head and you're like, not in this area. Maybe this area, yeah, but not. Why? Because that's what happens. We're looking for it other than Jesus. Again, I think the Bible says if our ways please Him, He'll give us the desires of our heart. So there's nothing wrong with wanting something or having something. But we ought to seek Him first and then let Him give it to us. So we see here, if Jesus is not the center of every area of our life, we're going to be wanting. We're not going to be satisfied. And again, that's what people, you're never satisfied. They'll make statements like that because you're always wanting. Well, that was pretty fun, but, you sell a kidney and you take your kid to Disney World and they're like, that was all right. You're like, I lost a piece of me to get you here, and it's all right, and you're not satisfied. And that's the way our world thinks. I got to have more. I got to have better. I got to be this, or I'm just not going to be satisfied. But if we can just say, look, God created me. He saved me. He put me down here. So I'm just going to have a relationship with Him and try my best to please Him. And if He adds other things, great. But what I desire is that salvation. I desire that satisfaction in that relationship. So satisfaction is felt in our soul. And just like she is saying, nothing but Jesus will satisfy your soul. Nothing. So now we're in Psalm 63. We're going to read all 11 verses real quick. And then we'll break them down here. So you'll see right there in Psalm 63, David obviously learned this satisfaction. All right? He was a man after God's own heart. He had that longing. He wanted that relationship with Christ, and he got it. Now, obviously, we know he stepped out of God's will for a little while, and he had to long for it again. He didn't have to get saved again, but he had to come back to Jesus. So it says here, O God, Thou art my God. Early will I seek Thee. Say, early in life, early in the day, early in the situation. We saw that in a sermon not too long ago. It says here, my soul thirsteth for Thee. So David's saying, I've got this longing inside of me. So I think even a person that maybe is not saved, they have that longing. Why? Because the Holy Spirit draws, especially if that seed's been planted. And then a person maybe that's backslidden or doing their own thing, they're not pleasing Jesus with their life, there's a little bit of them in there saying, I want to be right with God. I want to please Him. So that longing is there. And it says here, my soul thirsteth. And it says here, my flesh longeth for Thee. In a dry and thirsty land, and there is where no water is. Of course, if you're thirsty, it's like, I'm making people thirsty right now. You're so thirsty you can't even swallow. You're like, ugh. All right, that's what he's talking about. It's a dry and thirsty land. If it's a desert out there, stuff's trying to grow. I mean, it wants water in the worst way. Then in verse 2, to see the power and the glory, so as I seen thee in the sanctuary, because thy loving kindness is better than life. So we get that salvation, obviously it's better than life. We get that relationship with Christ where we're pleasing Him. We have that relationship. It's better than life. My lips shall praise thee. Thus I will bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. When we were singing songs this morning, I saw a few hands go up. I mean, those truths of those songs. You're like, I agree with that. I feel that in my soul. That's what they're talking about. David said, my soul shall be, there it is, satisfied as with marrow and fatness. Now, I know there's differences of opinion on this. I like ribeye steaks. Right? Why? Because there's a little bit of marbling fat in there. And man, that just, my wife doesn't like it. That's fine with me. You know why? I get it. She cuts that off and she slides it over on my plate. And it's, oh man, you take that bite with that. That's where the flavor is. That's what this is talking about. I got the Bible on it. So I'm right, she's wrong. All right? So we see here, we're satisfied. I mean, we take that bite. And I mean, that it just releases all those juices. And oh man, that's satisfying. It says here, in my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed. That's what the Bible talks about, that sweet sleep. When you've got a relationship with Jesus and you lay down and you're sitting there thinking, man, it's been a great day today. I could have gotten killed, but God kept me from that happening. So thank you, Lord. Everything's right. Everything's going okay. And if everything wasn't going okay, God's still in control. He's going to provide. He's going to help me there. And you just that's just satisfying. But if you're laying there thinking, you know, this is not working out, this isn't happening for me, this is not going, and the Holy Spirit's like, because you're away from the Lord, you're not satisfied. That's why there's a longing in there. And so He says, look, I'm gonna remember that when I'm on my bed, and meditate on thee in the night watches. So here, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings I will rejoice. And stay close, so God can open up His wings, and I can go under them like the little chick with the hen. My soul followeth hard after thee. So in other words, we're created with that longing in there, and that longing creates a desire. And I mean, I want it, and that's what the Bible's teaching, that we ought to want salvation. We ought to want a relationship with God more than we want anything else. And I'm going to fight hard after that. And then it goes on to say, let's see, I can't find it there. And my soul seeketh it. I'm sorry. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. So God's helping me even in this situation. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. In other words, tell the devil, and any evil he's trying to get, just get on out of here. And, you know, you can read into it where he's telling them to go. To the lower parts of the earth. The Bible says this, enlarge daily. So you just get on out of here. Leave me alone. Why? Because my soul's longing after God. Don't tempt me with a relationship. Don't tempt me with money. Don't tempt me with prestige. And don't tempt me with possessions. You just get on out of here. I want a relationship with God more than I want anything else. Verse 10, they shall fall by the sword. They shall be a portion for the foxes, but the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that sweareth by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. So we see here, David has the key. I've tried it. I've tried everything, and we're going to see his son knows exactly what his dad was talking about. Solomon knows. I look for it in this, I look for it in this, I look for it in this. Nothing satisfied. It was all vanity. It was all empty. But that relationship with Christ is there. So we see in Psalm 63, verses 1 through 4, we see that longing soul or that thirsting soul. And we know that Jesus is the one that satisfies and gives that water that will never thirst again. Verses 5 through 7, we see that soul satisfaction. In other words, that relationship with God. It was a God near, not a God far off. Draw nigh to Him, He'll draw nigh to you. We have to have that relationship. And then verses 8 through 11, we see the soul's resolution. It said basically there in verse 8, my soul falleth hard after thee. I mean, I've just resolved this in my mind. I'm going to try to be right with God. I'm going to try to have His relationship. So we're going to look at some other verses where that word satisfied pops up. And we're going to see some principles here in just a minute in the outline of how to keep wanting it, how to get it, and how to keep it. But I'll read you these verses. You can write these references down. Psalm 107, verse 9 says here, "For He satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with gladness," or goodness. So David, he found it. Why? Because his soul was looking hard after Him. And he's like, look, just like I mentioned in a sermon not too long ago, I know a guy. All right, if you have a longing soul and you want to be happy, I know a guy. If you want to be blessed of God, I know a guy. You got to long for that. And he says, and if you do that, He will satisfy your hungry soul with goodness. And Proverbs 13:25 says here, the righteous, in other words, the people that are right with God, doing what God wants them to do, eateth to the satisfying of his soul, but the belly of the wicked shall want. So obviously we all know, we sit back, and we probably say, I shouldn't have had that second helping. I shouldn't have had that second, plate full. I would have been satisfied one plate ago. And so now we're hurting. Or we didn't get enough. I still want something else. I'm not satisfied. So anything you're looking for is going to... the Bible talks about in the Old Testament about that fat cow that just swelled up and pretty much exploded because of all the evil gases inside. So we're looking for satisfaction, and it's just going to give us a stomachache. It's going to cause us to throw up. It's going to cause us to hurt. Why? Because we're looking in the wrong places. But if we find it in Jesus, the Bible says we're going to be satisfied. And Isaiah 55:2 says this, "Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread?" Okay, people out there spending money left and right, looking for satisfaction. And all we really need is food, water. All right? But he said, Isaiah was saying, you're spending money like it's, going out of style. It says here, "In your labor for that which satisfies not." People get side jobs and another, a third job, and we got to get this. Yeah, nothing wrong with having to do things like that. But if that's, if God's excluded, when you get it, you're not going to be satisfied. "Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your souls delight itself in fatness." So God's saying, hey, don't look for satisfaction in possessions. Don't look for satisfaction in things and money and prestige and popularity. Look for it in me. So according to the Bible, our soul is going to hunger and thirst. That's a normal thing. So if you hunger for something, or you thirst for something, or you desire to have something, that's a normal thing. But what God's saying is, if it's of anything other than me, you're going to just keep being thirsty. You're going to keep being hungry. You're not going to be satisfied. Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are they which hunger and do thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." So again, if we find God and we have that relationship with Him, we're going to be satisfied. Anything else, we're going to be dissatisfied. The only thing that's going to satisfy our soul is if we take a drink of that living water and be saved, and if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, not worldly desires. So here's my 3 points. Number one, the satisfaction of our soul is not found in worldly devices. And again, we're going to see it on TV, commercials. We're going to hear it on the radio. We're going to hear it from other people. Oh man, you got to do this, or you got to go achieve this, or you got to get this, or you're not going to be happy. And that's what the devil will do. It'll put maybe even a place, maybe a possession, some type of achievement. And I got to have that. I got to have that. Again, nothing wrong with some of those things. But if we're going around Jesus, we're not going to be satisfied. Here's the verses to back it up. Talked about David's son, Solomon. In Ecclesiastes 5:10, he says here, "He that loveth silver," okay, money, "shall not be satisfied with silver." I mean, it's right here in the Bible. I got to have this much money. Again, nothing wrong with planning for the future. I think you should. Nothing wrong with insurance. I think you should have it. All right? And, well, they just steal you blind. But anyway, I got to have it. I got to have it. It says here, if you're just loveth silver, when you get silver, you're not going to be satisfied. "Nor he that loveth abundance with increase, this is also vanity." And of course, Solomon was known as the wisest man in the world, the richest man in the world, and the emptiest man in the world. And so he said, I had it all. I got the money. Wasn't satisfied. I had the relationship. How many wives did he have? Concubines did he have? Still wasn't satisfied. It's all empty. So anything that comes before Jesus is going to leave you never satisfied. Ecclesiastes 1:8, all things are full of labor. It's going to take work. Nothing wrong with that. Man cannot utter it. The eyes that is not satisfied with seeing and the ear filled with hearing. In other words, if you talk to somebody that has had a problem with these eyes, pornography, never satisfied. Got to keep looking. Keep looking. Keep looking. Problem is this. Right? Whether it be gossip, wicked music, whatever. I got to have more. I got to have more. I got to have more. I got to listen to more. That's what Solomon's saying here. There was people that, you know, they looked at things they shouldn't look at, and that got dull, so they had to have more. They heard stuff. That got boring, so what did they do? They had to have more. That's what Jesus is saying. This stuff that the devil tells you, you got to have it or your soul's just going to keep being longing and thirsty. And you get it, you're not going to be satisfied. Never satisfied. There's some places in the Bible that tells us this. Proverbs 27:20. It says, hell and destruction are never full. So the eyes of men are never satisfied. I already quoted the verse. The Bible says hell is enlarged daily. Because people are out there, they're looking for their own life, not God's. They're looking for their own salvation, not God's. And hell just keeps getting full, more full, and more full, and more full. Hell's not satisfied. And if you do get saved, the devil don't just go, okay, lost cause, I'm going to leave them alone. No, if he can't get you to go to hell, what's that second verse? And hell and destruction. He's going to try to destroy your life with any temptation he can. So hell and destruction are never full. The eyes of man are never satisfied. Proverbs 30:15-16 says here, the horse leech. I guess that's a bigger leech than a normal leech. Remember, what does leeches do? Suck your blood. So these things that Satan says you've got to have or your soul's not going to be satisfied, it's just going to keep sucking the life out of you. The horse leech has two sisters or two daughters crying, give, give. And there are things that are never satisfied. Yea, four things say it's not enough. So the Bible gives us four things here, and there's others. But there's four things that they're never going to quit clamoring for your time or clamoring for your thought or causing your soul to long for it. And the Bible talks about there in verse 16, the grave is never satisfied. The graves are not going to say, okay, we've had enough dead people. All the rest of y'all can just live forever. No, it's going to keep longing. Sin bringeth forth death. So death, the grave is never satisfied. The Bible says a barren womb is never satisfied. God puts that in a lady. And of course they want. And if you're not able to, obviously, not a satisfaction. The Bible also says that the earth that is not filled with water is never satisfied. And of course you a desert, you pour some water, man, it wants more. it's dry and cracking. It's never satisfied. And then the Bible talks about how fire is never satisfied. And of course, there's been wildfires out west not too long ago. And I mean, they'll burn a house down. They're not satisfied with that. They want to burn the barn. And then they're not satisfied with that. They want to burn the fields. And they're not satisfied with that. They want to burn the trees. And so that's what God's saying here is, look, if you're looking for satisfaction in your soul other than me, it's never going to be filled. It's just going to want more. It's going to want more. Ecclesiastes 4:8. There is one alone, and there is not a second. Yea, he is neither with child nor brother, yet there is no end to all his labor, neither his eye satisfied with riches. Neither saith he for whom I do labor, and bereave my soul of good. This also is vanity, yea, it is sore travail. So we see Solomon was saying, hey, I've been there. I've had it. It did not bring satisfaction. So listen to me. So Solomon is saying anything that is your number one other than Jesus is going to leave you empty and never satisfied. A couple other men in the Bible that says, hey, I agree with him. You're looking for anything other than Jesus to be your number one, you're never going to be satisfied. Isaiah said it. Isaiah 9:20. And he shall snatch on the right hand. All right? People that want stuff, they'll snatch it out of your hand. I remember one time, and they've never let me live it down. We were on vacation one time. We were at Cracker Barrel, and my son had gotten pancakes, and he had one bite of pancake left. And I reached over there and ate it. He was like, "What?" You took his last bite. You snatched it away from me. I was waiting. You know, he said, "I'd already cleansed my palate. I wanted to leave with syrup pancake taste in my mouth. And you took it away from me." All right? So that's what Isaiah is saying. He's like, look, the devil's just going to snatch. You think, if I could just get that, I'd be satisfied. Boom! He's just going to snatch it right out of your way. You're not going to be satisfied. And he shall snatch on the right hand. And then it says here, and be hungry, and he shall eat on the left hand. In other words, snatch out of this hand and then bite this hand. Anything that the devil says, this is what's going to satisfy you, he's going to snatch it away from you and he's going to bite you. The Bible talks about the alcohol being like a snake, an adder. I mean, I got to have another sip. Bam! He bites you with vehicular homicide. I just got to have another one. Bam! He gets you in arrest or in jail for beating your wife. That's what Isaiah is saying. Look, all this stuff that you think you got to have another one, or you think you just got to get it, it's going to snatch it away from you. It's going to bite your left hand. And he shall be not satisfied. He shall eat every man's flesh and even his own arm. I mean, people that's looking for that so bad, it's like they'll eat their own arm. Like, what are you thinking? Jesus is saying, look, just put me first and you won't have to worry about that. Nobody's going to be able to snatch anything away from you because greater is He that's in you than He that's in the world. He's stronger. And He won't let the devil bite you. He'll say, hey, quote this verse, resist him, and he'll have to flee. Jesus is like, I know what I'm talking about. Isaiah's like, look, if you're looking for satisfaction any other place than Jesus, you're going to be taken out. So we see Isaiah 9, I'm going to read verses 17 through 21, the rest of it. It says here, therefore, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men. Right, so these young men, hey, put Jesus first. Nope, I'm putting girls first. No. Put Jesus first. Nope, I'm putting sports first. Hey, no. Put Jesus first. No, I'm putting money first. Put Jesus first. Nope, I'm putting my career first. That's what he's saying. Therefore, the Lord shall have no joy in their young men. It's going to get snatched away from them. Their left hand's going to get eaten off. The devil's got them. I've tried to tell them to put me first. And it says here, neither have mercy on their fatherless and their widows, for everyone is a hypocrite and an evildoer, and every mouth speaketh folly. For all his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still. So Jesus is saying right there in the middle, if you'll come to yourself like the prodigal son, I'll get you out of the hog pen. If you'll come to yourself like Jonah in the belly of the whale, I'll get you out. He's like, look, because none of that, running from me, partying, living it up, and righteous living, that's not going to satisfy. So if you'll come to yourself in the middle of that and say, I want you back, Jesus. I want my relationship back with you. He's like, look, I'll just reach out, pick you up. Verse 18, it says here, for the wickedness burneth as fire. That hog pen is going to just keep burning. In the belly of that well is going to just keep burning. Doing your own thing is just going to keep burning. It shall devour the briars and the thorns, and the kennel, and the thickets, and the forest. In other words, that fire just keeps on going, it keeps on going, it keeps on going. And it's lifting up smoke. Verse 19, through the wrath of the Lord of hosts, and the land darkness, and the people shall be as the fuel to the fire. No man shall spare his brother. So Isaiah is saying, look, all you guys that are looking for your soul to be quenched, your soul's thirst to be quenched, or your soul's hunger to be filled in any other place than Jesus Christ, it's going to be a mess. And we've already read verse 20. It's going to be snatched away. It's going to be, your hand's going to be bitten. Every man is going to even eat his own arm to try to get that satisfaction. So Isaiah was saying, look, not going to find satisfaction in anything but Jesus. Real quickly, Ezekiel 16:28 says here, "Thou hast played the whore also that with the Assyrians, because thou hast unsatiable." In other words, you weren't satisfied with anything else. That's a weird word there, but unsatiable. You can't be satisfied with anything else. "Yea, thou hast played the harlot with them, and yet couldest not be satisfied." Ezekiel's telling the people of his day, you're looking everywhere else. You've cheated on God. You've looked for satisfaction everywhere else. You're not going to find it. Amos 4:8. Amos says, "So two or three cities wandered unto one city to drink water, but they were not satisfied. Yet ye have not returned unto me, saith the Lord." So Amos was saying it. So we see here different time periods of the Bible, different preachers that God had of their day saying, "Hey, anything but Jesus is not going to satisfy your soul. This city went looking for water, and this city went looking for water." They met at a city that had some water, and they drank it, but they weren't satisfied. They needed to return to the Lord. Habakkuk 2:5. "Yea, also because he transgresseth by wine." In other words, he'd been out drinking. And it says here, "He is a proud man." In other words, nobody's going to tell me what to do. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to keep doing. Then it says here, "Neither keepeth at home." In other words, where's Dad? Well, he's out drinking. He's out doing his own thing. It says here, "Who enlargeth his desire as hell, and is as death, and cannot be satisfied, but gathereth unto him all nations, and heapeth unto him all people." So Habakkuk was saying, "Hey, you guys, put God first. Take care of your family and be the Christian man that God wants you to be. But if you go out there, you start with one sip, one six pack, now you have one keg or you're not satisfied. You go out and party and you do this and you do that. You're not going to be satisfied." They ended up crying and seeing they've left their family and they've left them out to dry. So all these men were saying, chasing material possessions. They were chasing fame. They were chasing relationships. They never truly were satisfied in their human soul. It was a temporary fix. So we cannot find satisfaction outside Jesus Christ for our soul. Number two, and I got to go quickly. Number two, we saw number one, satisfaction of our soul is not found in worldly desires. Number two, satisfaction for our soul is found in Jesus Christ. And we'll go real quickly. Give you some verses. John 4:13 and 14. We've already read it earlier. He's the water of life. He satisfies. He's the one that can save your soul. Matthew 11:28. We've already read that. "Come unto me, all you that heavy or labor and heavy laden." He's the satisfaction of rest for your souls. Worldly desires is not ever going to bring you rest. It's never full. It's never satisfied. You're going to have to just keep working, keep working, keep working, and get nowhere. It also says He is the goodness to our souls. Jeremiah 31:14. Listen to this verse. And that unsatisfiable. Here it is again. "I will sat it." In other words, I will satisfy. I will fill you. "I will sat it, the soul of the priest, with fatness." There that word is again. Gives it that good taste, that abundance. "And my people shall be satisfied with goodness, saith the Lord." So anyway, why don't good things happen to me? Well, the Bible says the way of a transgressor is hard. If you're going to sin, expect hardness. But my people, they're looking to please me, they're satisfied in their soul, here's you some goodness. God will bless you with some goodness. Joel 2:26, "And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord." Man, praise God for this. "For God that hath dealt wonderfully with you, and my people shall be never ashamed." So, if we are saved and doing right, obviously the Bible talks about God's favor, God's smile, God's look, God's blessing. That's satisfaction stuff. Putting Jesus first, putting God first in your life, God's going to make it satisfaction. It's not going to be a bed of roses and everything's going to be perfect. Like we saw in Sunday school, even if we're going through a time where we don't see anything to rejoice for, we ought to still rejoice because God's still got it under control. So our soul can only be satisfied in Jesus. Number three, the satisfaction of our soul will produce certain characteristics. Just like you can see somebody that, again, the Bible tells us, we ought not judge saved, lost. That's not our business. The Bible tells them to work out their own salvation with fear and trouble. That's between them and God. We have no business saying that person's lost, that person's saved. That's not of our choice. But we can mark and avoid. We can have no fellowship. Why? Because we can see living in sin, no blessings. God's spanking them. But here's a person. So see, these characteristics, it'll be known. They'll be at the hospital and just heard bad news, but they're still saying, praise the Lord. And you're like, excuse me? Yeah, God's got it under control. If I die with this, I'm just going to wake up in heaven. That's satisfaction. But then people are like, oh, man, if I die, where am I going to go? They're not satisfied. So we see that Jesus says, hey, there's certain characteristics to that person that is satisfying Him. And I'll give you some verses. Psalm 21:1 says here, this, it will cause us to not want anything more than we want Jesus. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Psalm 23:1. Philippians 4:11-13. Not that I speak in respect of want. So here's a Christian. And you don't hear him saying, I want this, and I want that, and I want it to be this, and I want. No. I don't speak in respect of want. For I have learned, in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. God's in control. I'm satisfied with whatever He brings me, whatever He gives me. Verse 12, I know how to be abased, not have a lot, and I know how to be abound. In other words, God's blessing me beyond measure. Pressed down, shaken together, running over, even the Bible says. Everywhere, in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, and both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. So the person that's satisfied is through Christ. It's through Christ. Next, Proverbs 14:14. What characteristic will it cause? It'll cause me not to be in want all the time. I'm satisfied. Number two, it will cause me to fear the Lord. Proverbs 14:14 says here, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. So we know the Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, it's the beginning of evil, or beginning of wisdom. But it also says here that if I fear God, I'm satisfied. Then it also will cause us to be good. 14:14 again. Proverbs 14, it says here, the backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. In other words, the satisfaction is not in himself. It's away from himself. It's God. So the backslider, yep, he's going to be banging his head against the wall and never be satisfied. Always be thirsty. Always be hungry. Always want. But the person that's right with God, that man's going to be satisfied, not from himself, or not in himself, but from himself. It'll also cause us to want to talk about it. And again, some people, you know, you're like, will you ever shut up? Right, they get a new something and they tell you about it. And they tell you the deal that they worked. And they tell you, you know, how good it is. And they just talk. And you're like, okay. Why? Because they're happy. They're excited about it. But a person that's satisfied with Jesus, they can't help but talk about Him. Proverbs 12:14, a man shall be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth. And he recompense a man's hand shall be rendered unto him. Why are you always so happy? Glad you ask. Jesus saved my soul. All right. Jesus sustains me. Jesus supplies all my needs. Even when I'm going through hard times, He's right there with me, carrying me if He needs to, holding me up with His right hand. That person is satisfied. And it'll cause him to talk about it. It'll also cause him to be meek. I didn't say weak. All right? Jesus wasn't weak. All right? He could have called 10,000 angels. Or He could have just spoke all those people dead. It wasn't that He was weak. It was He was meek. He was humbling Himself. He was laying down His life. So Proverbs 22:26 is this, the meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord and seek Him with their whole heart, and they will live forever. So we can be meek. It also says that we can work and not love sleep. I'll just I won't read the verses. Proverbs 12:11 tells us if we're satisfied, it's because we've labored for it. Also, if we're satisfied, in Proverbs 20:13, it says that we didn't love sleep. So my three points were this. Satisfaction of our soul is not found in worldly devices. Number two, satisfaction of our soul is found in Jesus. Number three, satisfaction of our soul will produce certain characteristics. Now my conclusion is this. The closer you get to Jesus, right, the more you'll want it. Right? That satisfied me. I want it to continue. Psalm 17:15 says this, as for me. So David had that kind of like Joshua moment. But as for me and my house, and we saw he made that declaration in Psalm 63, verse 8. I'm going to seek hard after Jesus. Why? Because it's going to satisfy. In Psalm 17:15 says this, as for me, I will behold thy face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. So this was David's mindset in his Christian life. Obviously, he was a man after God's own heart. He was satisfied in his relation with Jesus. He goofed. But none of us can look down our pharisaical nose and say, we've never goofed. But David goofed. He lost that relationship, but he longed for it. I want to be the man after God's own heart again. And the Bible said he cried on his bed. I mean, he begged God, and he got back. And so he says here in Psalm 17, I'm never going to be satisfied, and I'm never going to keep trying until I awake in Jesus' likeness. Because David knew he had blown it. But he was kind of like Paul. I'm going to forget those things. I'm pressing towards that way, buddy. But one day when I get to heaven, this is when I'll really be satisfied. It's when I'll be just like Jesus. And I won't blow it anymore. And I won't make Him sad anymore. That's when I'll be really satisfied. So as a Christian, you know, I want Jesus. And I want a relationship with Him. But I blow it all the time. So I get what David's saying is, I'm going to keep trying, I'm not going to give up, because I know none of that other stuff will satisfy. Money won't satisfy, possessions won't satisfy, relationships won't satisfy, you know, things won't satisfy. Only Jesus will satisfy, but I just keep blowing it. But David's like, man, when we get up there and we're changed in the twinkling of an eye, and we got the same sinless body as Jesus, and we'll think like Jesus and act like Jesus. He said, boy, I can't wait for that. I'll be really, really satisfied that day because I won't have to keep growing anymore because I'll be grown. I won't have to keep trying anymore because I'll be like Jesus. So this is what we have to do while we're here on the earth. What's going to satisfy you? I'm going to try. I'm going to keep growing until I see Him. I'm going to keep living for Him until I see Him. I'm going to keep wanting His favor until I see Him. So here's the last thing, Deuteronomy 33:23. It says, of Naphtali, he said, O Naphtali, satisfied with favor and full of blessing to the Lord, possessest thou to the west and to the south. So he's telling Naphtali, what you need to do is ask God for His favor. Ask Him for His blessing. And the only way we can get that is to have that relationship with Him. Are you satisfied in every area of your life? If you're not, Jesus can help you satisfy. It might be to get rid of that area because it's a sin. Then you'll be satisfied. Maybe it's something that you don't have in your life you need to add because it's a command. Start putting it in your life, then you'll be satisfied. But until we get there and we become just like Jesus, we've got to keep trying. We've got to keep trying. Only Jesus can satisfy your soul. Lord Jesus, thank You for this day and thank You for the opportunity we have to serve You. And Lord, we thank You for this truth in the Bible. Obviously, we saw that the devil's out there. Boy, he's advertising. He's putting it in lights. He's making it look exciting. Oh, you got to have this, got to have this. And a lot of people in this world get trapped into that. And they spend their whole life trying to get it. And they get it and realize it didn't satisfy my soul. So some of them taking their life. Some of them just went to drugs, alcohol, whatever. Why? Because it didn't satisfy. Only Jesus can satisfy our soul. And us Christians, or maybe we love sleep, or maybe we don't work hard enough, or maybe we don't want to please You hard enough. So help us to have that desire to want to please You In Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Brother Eric's going to lead us in the invitation. Altar's open. If you'd like to come, thank Jesus for satisfying your soul when you got saved. Thank Him for satisfying your soul through your life. And tell Him you're going to be determined to satisfy Him.